children who are literally vibrating on a higher wavelength.
The genius idea that we've been looking for.
That's why it's very important to have representation.
You gotta trust the process and constantly be patient.
Create experiences for
success,
yourself, you know,
comes only from failing.
You're listening to
New Indigo.
New Indigo.
You're listening to New Indigo.
Let's just get started with who is Defi, like your musical journey, when did you get started, and all of that.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So I actually started when I was like hella young. I was a very young kid. I was like fifth grade, sixth grade. Right. And I would go to the computer labs in elementary school, and they had GarageBand on there. It was the first time I ever saw any like music production software of any type. I didn't even know it was possible. I thought it was just drum machines, and that was it. So I was maybe 11 at the time, and I found that software. It became FL Studio, and I've just been making beats ever since, man.
Damn. Yeah, man. So you've been sticking with FL through this whole time?
I stuck with FL. Took heat over the later years from other producers, but, you know, pick the program that works for you. I don't think it really matters, honestly.
Right. I know, like, in the beginning, it was considered, like, you know how you're saying a lot of people were kind of, like, giving it heat.
Yeah.
But then now I feel like it's kind of the, like, a lot of people use it, right?
Right, yeah. A bunch of big producers, like, a lot of people don't know, like, dope people out there use FL. Like, Kay Trinata uses FL, Sam Gellatry uses FL, like, Medicine, Oshi, like, hella people. So, it's dope.
Even, like, Metro Boomin and all the...
Yeah, and even, the biggest producers out there, Metro Boomin is probably... one of the biggest producers in the world right now, and he uses FL consistently.
That's tight. But what about like when you were in fifth grade? Can you give us like that whole journey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I have to say is my dad like is the main influence, because in the womb, I was probably listening to like two 12-inch subwoofers bumping like Tupac, just like straight out of the hospital. My dad was playing hip-hop, old-school hip-hop, like Slick Rick, you know, all the way through LL Cool J and Snoop Dogg. Every classic record you can think of, I heard from the age of zero. So that was my main influence. And then once I got into the ability, like, I saw I could make music, that's where I wanted, you know, that's the type of stuff that I wanted to try to make, was, like, Pharrell was, like, my favorite beat that I heard at the time was, like, Drop It Like It's Hot. That was, like, the craziest thing I ever heard. I kept finding rhythms, like, all throughout the track that I didn't hear at the time before. So... I really wanted to be like Pharrell, honestly. Yeah. And I just kept doing that stuff. So I really found like percussion sounds. And I wish I had learned more technical production stuff, because that's helped nowadays, where I wish I would have had it back in the day and grown from there. But other than that, man, it's always just been a grind to become Pharrell, honestly.
And then you were saying like you weren't even looking at YouTube, like,
Or
you just all self-taught, right?
I never looked at any tutorials. I mean, I did just if I really needed to figure something out. But for the most part, I would either go around the issue and use other ways to figure out what I need to do, or I would just like move on and try some other, you know, task to get the sound that I needed. So
YouTube even a thing like when you were
YouTube
different?
Was a thing. Okay. It definitely wasn't as much of a thing as it is now. I feel like hella producers have like mad resources nowadays.
Yeah.
They got you know, Samplephonics and all these websites and startups nowadays that are like have dope, crisp, high quality samples for free. Or you can hit up your friends and they have a huge, usually producers know like a decent library somewhere where they can find like a ton of dope sounds.
Right.
I didn't really have that. So I was finding, sorry, let me drink some water here. So delicious. I was finding like samples from my dad's old hip hop records.
Yeah.
Like he had saved CDs from like back like the late 90s and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would find loops from there, and then go in and put in some crap drums and just use like default 808 drums. And that's how I made my beats for the first few years.
Yeah. Were you okay? That's tight. And then you were born in LA or?
I was, yeah. I was born in Inglewood.
So
Inglewood. Inglewood?
Born and raised out here.
Born in Inglewood, but raised in Orange County. Okay. So I was raised in a city called Foothill Ranch. And it's a little tiny suburb in the hills, just like it sounds. Just overlooking Orange County is pretty, it's a pretty place, but it's definitely, let's just say I'm glad to have been cultured by my parents as far as like music goes and art goes, because I feel like I may have not come out how I did growing up where I grew up, definitely.
Right.
It was a little stifling over there.
Let's say. What else were you bumping back then? Was it Pharrell?
Like? Yeah, it was everything that most people were bumping back. Like, I listened to probably the radio for most of my life. So I was bumping Kanye's first album into like all the Pharrell jams, Gwen Stefani, Timbaland, like in 2007, 2008, when Timbaland was just murdering the charts with like Nelly Furtado and Justin Timberlake, all that stuff. I still think of that in my head when I want to create something, you know? Like I imagine those sounds.
Damn.
That's the stuff that I love, man. It makes me feel good.
So all that stuff is still like influenced in your music.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. When I think something sounds good, it's probably because it sounds closer to Timbaland and Pharrell. Like, it gives me that vibe. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be the same exact thing, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's right. You were telling me you're working on like a new project right now?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a new thing I'm working on. The name is not fully fleshed out, but I think we're going to go with Pharrell Pharrell. Mm-hmm. Just two like capital letters, FRFR, or two pairs of letters, sorry. But, on that project is going to be like a number of artists who are doing live instrumentals on SoundCloud right now. Sure. Like they're pianists who are also producers or like, you know, horn players that also make beats.
Right.
And a lot of those guys I'm going to and just like throwing them tracks that I've already basically finished and looking to get some input on musically. And I've been getting back some crazy stuff and working on my own stuff that's like way different than anything I've ever made. Just like huge bangers, man. I'm on this new thing. I don't know. We're doing crazy stuff.
That's crazy. So have you done that before, or is it like your first time kind of trying this style out?
Well, usually I do a project a year. So like a full, you know, few track EP every year. Hopefully it'll become an album and when I have that production, you know, capability. But right now, sticking to EPs. Getting singles together. And last time I did it, it was a bit of a rush. It was like I decided about a month and a half before that I was going to drop the EP on a specific date. Yeah. And I just beat my own... Can I curse on you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just beat my own ass the whole time, like trying to finish by that deadline that I'd given myself because I felt like, you know, that would have helped me to work harder to get there. Right. And at the end, I felt like I just didn't give it all my all and didn't give out the full product. Although I love the project, like don't get me wrong, those tracks are like crazy and on a wave that I had never like messed with before.
Right.
But this time around, definitely care more about having a polished product than a finished product. Yeah. Yeah.
So in your opinion, is it like your favorite product to date or?
The favorite project? Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. As it is right now, yes. But it's so cool because it's like I love it and it's only maybe 60-70% done right now. So
sick.
I'm very excited to see what the finished product is going to be.
Complete. Okay.
Yeah, man.
And then
that's over this summer, by the way. It's going to be dropping like end of May all the way through July, August.
Sick. So yeah, go cop that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when you were like, even when you started making music, right?
Mm.
So when did you start like posting it? Did you ever do like the MySpace music?
I never did it. No. The first place I ever posted music technically was SoundClick. Not SoundClick. Oh. It was Reverb Nation. It was it was this website where you would post it and it was very corporatized. I don't know why I used it. My friends thought it was like the place to publish music and get views. So I was in this little rap group in high school and we posted to Reverb Nation. We were getting so stoked off of like 200 plays, 300 plays on a track.
Damn.
We thought we were famous because we were.
Wait, did you use SoundClick too? Because I remember that one.
I didn't. Okay. I used it, but I never posted to SoundClick because I never figured it out and I didn't really care. I was just trying to make my own stuff and literally just... I wasn't trying to put it online. I was just putting it on my hard drive. I just needed to have it just to get that art out. I wasn't necessarily thinking like, oh, I could start making beats and like people listen to it and I could get like some decent pub off of that. I wasn't thinking that until like I saw other dudes do it. So when I heard my first Mr. Carmack beat on SoundCloud or Catra in like 2012 or so, that's when I was like, okay, this guy's just putting out fire ass beats. And he's like popping off of it. So that's the point where I started to think, okay, let me start packaging this stuff out for release and just putting it out, making my own album covers. That happened over like 2 years or so, like that whole process.
Okay.
And then at the end of that 2 years, I was doing like making my own art, putting out releases, doing EPs, planning to like turn this into a career. So
that's tight.
Yeah, man.
Did you have like as you grew up, musical influences that really affected, I guess, like your whole process of becoming a producer, doing music and stuff like that.
Like I said, man, the first dude that I saw who, like, I was probably 4 or 5 years old when I knew that was, like, someone I was looking up to was Pharrell, man.
Right.
Like, his core game, and I don't know what, I think he's doing, like, minor sevens all the time, minor nines all the time.
Yeah.
And that stuff is, no one else on the radio is doing jazz chords.
Right.
On the radio, unless you were listening to like an old school hip hop station, and I don't even think those existed back then. Mm-hmm. So, because hip hop was old school back then, I guess that was like the current time.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's like I've always looked to dudes who have crazy drums: Scott Storch, Timbaland, Pharrell, like the classic hip hop super producers. But nowadays, I've been looking more towards like people who are really, really pushing the envelope on some like super next level future thinking stuff, like St. John Hawk, like the dudes who produce for Kanye. A lot of my friends, honestly, are like really pushing the envelope, like Oshi and Sober Rob, Manatee, killing stuff out there.
Right.
Rage Logic, shout out Rage Logic.
What about like a music scene? When did you like start getting exposed to that?
Yeah.
Was there any in your town growing up or?
Boy, no. There was absolutely nothing in my town growing up. It was the only culture that was there was stuff that we created ourselves. Like, we literally like just randomly posted on Facebook, yo, we're having a rap cipher on campus at the courtyard. Come through at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And probably like 100 people showed up because it was like the only thing that you could go to, and it was like the coolest thing that they had heard of.
Right.
So, I mean, that goes to show like where it came from. And then once I came to LA, it was just this huge community of people. And I remember telling myself like, I need to get into this circle of people or that circle of people by this time. And I made it a goal to kind of like see who I could associate with, trying to like, I guess it was like a social climbing thing looking back at it. But I mean, that's all you can imagine when you're 17, 18, like thinking about moving to LA and trying to see like what your obstacles are. It's like, I need to like be friends with these people. And once I'm friends, then my life is going to change. Mm-hmm. It ended up being more of like, I needed to get my own friends and like grow with homies that really, we all believed in each other,
right.
You know? So it really started to grow when I realized that and sent out, I think one specific day, I sent out 10 emails on SoundCloud. It was like 10 SoundCloud DMs.
Right.
And it was just my profile. I was like, yo, dude, if you want to work, here's my profile. And I sent it to like people who I thought I had a chance of working with.
Yeah.
Like maybe they would say no, maybe they say yes. And everyone said yes. And I was oh, this is how easy it is to just hit people up and send them your stuff. And, you know, they mess with you.
Yeah.
And it was very like good for the self-validation too. I'm not even gonna lie, it was like, okay, I can actually do this, I have potential as an artist,
right?
So that was really reassuring. And after that, like, I just kept putting stuff out, and I'm here now. Like, it's just been the same thing pretty much, just dropping tracks.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even like, I don't really like the term social climbing, because I feel like you're just kind of finding the people that kind of fit towards the aim you're trying to go towards, right?
Yeah.
And then you're kind of building together with them towards that life.
Well, I don't know. I think it gets a little weird when you say, like, this person, I need to become friends with them solely just because of the stats that they have. You know what I mean? Like, just because of their numbers. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I ended up becoming friends with a lot of the people that I wanted to. It just wasn't in the way that I thought it was going to happen. It wasn't going to be me going up to them and introducing myself and being like, I'm a producer. And it ended up being like, you're a mutual friend of this person. You go to a party and like you meet them. And you, after the party, you're like, oh, well, I ended up meeting that person. And, you know, now we have that connection. So it was really just, I don't know, learning how the community out here in LA works.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like within the industry, when you meet one, you kind of meet a bunch at once, right?
Yes, totally.
Because I remember one of the guest speakers over here, he was saying like the music industry is really small.
Yeah, it's tiny. I mean, LA specifically is like extremely small. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a high school, basically. It's like if someone does something big enough, you're going to hear about it. And you've probably met everyone at least, you know, one time, or about to meet everyone,
right,
at some point in the near future.
But I remember, like, I used to think it was really like big or like, you know what I'm saying, kind of scattered.
Right.
But then it really is pretty small.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's like a few thousand people out of like 4 million in the city probably that really influence. I'm not saying I'm one of them, but that just like I can think of that actually influence, you know, pop culture out here, media culture.
I think it's also there's like a oversaturation of, I guess, artists nowadays. Like within SoundCloud, you could just go endless like amount of music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think the challenge now is kind of standing out amongst all that music.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, what do you think is a way of standing out amongst all this stuff?
Like how to?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough question because I'm honestly a cynic. I mean, dog, like at the end of the day, make dope shit, like period.
Right.
Like you just have to make fire and you really have to beat yourself up over it. You know, you got to be critical of yourself, listen to the greats and keep working hard until you get to where you need to be. And, you know, it's not for everyone, honestly. Right. Like the music industry specifically is one of like the gnarliest games out there, and I'm like not even really in the industry. I'm just like an underground dude making beats out here, but I can still see it, you know.
Right.
So to those who are trying to make a difference, you have to be different, you know what I mean? Like you can like this artist and you can be influenced by him, but you got to bring your own sound. You got to develop that uniqueness that when someone hears your stuff, they're gonna one, want to hear more, and two, want you to win, dude. Because like you're like what Elon Musk was saying, he was like, yo, your company is nothing if your customers don't love your product and want you to win. So like, that's it, dude. You just need to be the person who others want to win if you want to win.
Damn, that's crazy. So have music good enough, you're cheering.
Well, that's the base. Like the base is like good music. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that is like inspiration. On top of that is like putting your feelings into the music so that you're speaking, you know, you're saying something that's different than just like a track, you know.
Right.
You're actually trying to get something out there that people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's a separation for yourself between like, say, Defi and then, you know, your
yourself?
So it's all the same.
Yeah. At this point, I don't have a different character. I'm the same person, man.
Oh.
If anything, like, I'm going to start getting a little bit more eccentric and bringing my, like, real human out a little bit more in my artistry. Because I feel like I've been low-key on the Defi side and more high-key on the mic side. But I think I'm going to bring a little bit more out. And like I said, man, this project that we're releasing over the summer is actually going to be a little bit changing. Like, music videos are going to be coming out for it. There's going to be a lot of pub for it. And I hope that the reception will reflect that because I really believe in these tracks. And, you know, I played you some of them before.
Right. And yeah. And they're dope.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like really inspiring because I know for a fact that this stuff is people just need to hear it. And a lot of people will connect with it the same way that, well, not how I want them to, but they'll connect with it. I don't know.
Uh-huh. And then you were also telling me about like the shows that you've done within this past year.
Yeah, man.
You mentioned Korea, South By. Yeah. All that. Do you have like any, I guess, outstanding story or like things that stand out to you? Any cool experiences from all of that?
Let's see. In April, I was in Germany. I went to Hamburg for a week. Like specifically just flew from LA straight to Hamburg, stayed there for a week with my friend Saint One and flew right back. And he was throwing a party out there. They call it Espaciet. And they throw it in this club that's like underground. It's a speakeasy, so there's like a secret bookcase that you use to get down into the club, and it's dope. They have like vintage lighting that you can control with like these old, like it feels like you're moving a submarine. Anyways, so this one guy who was performing that night ended up staying at my friend's house, and his name is Goyama. He's a producer from San Francisco, and he plays guitar. And like he sat down on the couch right next to me, and I was just playing my beats at the time, just like listening to my own stuff, trying to like get a sense of how it heard on their speakers. And this guy sits down and he just like starts jamming on the guitar, and we just like ended up collaborating on a track.
Yeah.
And that track ended up being like, I got Masego on it, and like it's this huge record that we're really excited about. So
God damn.
Man. Yeah, that's a cool story.
Sick.
Two dudes from California like meeting in Hamburg.
And then that's going to be on your next project?
We'll see. But, I mean, it's definitely going to come out.
Right.
And then if you were able to catch my Snapchat like a few days ago. I was actually like playing it out. And it's sick, man.
That's cool. And then how do you also like when you make music, I'm pretty sure there's some that you want to put out and then mm-hmm. there's some you want to keep.
Yeah.
Right. Is there what do you define is like the mark whether you want to put it out or keep it?
I honestly have an issue personally with releasing. Like mm-hmm. I don't want to put out anything unless I feel like it's the great, you know, my top product. Like I really put everything into it, really got it mixed well, really looked back and went back in and changed it a little bit and refined it.
Yeah.
So once I've done that, once I've got multiple opinions on it, refined it a couple times, went back into the project, mixed it a few times, and maybe thrown it to someone else to finish, like master it or something like that.
Right.
Those are the tracks that I'm ready to put out now. Mm. Back a couple years ago, I mean, it didn't matter if I finished a track, I would just release it right then. Mm. And maybe that's what people liked, but I feel like I'm the one who's in control of my own artist. So
right.
I'm just going to, that's where it is now. It's like these tracks that I'm going to put out this summer are going to be super, you know, high quality, high production value stuff.
So. Right. Do you ever feel like you fall into like the trap of like overthinking that aspect?
Oh yeah, man. Totally.
How do you handle that? Or like, what's a way to like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't, honestly. I'm just like, I'm super anal retentive about my own stuff. Uh-huh. And people get mad at me about it. So my management gets pissed off at me about it. Like, dude, just like have the track ready or give us the track or whatever. And I'm like, no, dude, it's not there yet.
Right.
And sometimes what other people can't see, I can. And sometimes I need to get snapped out of it. Sometimes like, dude, stop like worrying about it. Like,
right.
This is fire. And that's it. And sometimes I need to get smacked in the face a little bit, and that helps too. Mm. It's good to have those people around, I'll tell you that much.
Sick. But I mean, up until now, like you've already kind of built a career and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure like, was it in the beginning, was it more easier to kind of put stuff out and then it got harder, or how did that?
Yeah, personally, like scrutiny wise, mm-hmm. I think everybody goes through that. Anyone who's trying to pursue any type of career,
right.
As you grow that career, you become more and more self-critical just as a product of like growing. It's like as you create better products, you're going to start to, you know, recognize the smaller and smaller details in those products. And like you're going to start to be more critical of yourself. So definitely a lot of that going on. Definitely have to fight it. It's definitely a battle for every artist, man.
I know one of the past guests on here, he goes by Youngin. He's a studio engineer, actually. Mm-hmm. And then he worked on, like, To Pimp a Butterfly. He was telling me, his whole process of that is, like, he would constantly, like, he would reach a point where it's like, oh, damn, I'm getting pretty good at this, right?
Right.
But then when you reach that point, you start, like, kind of, like, you reached another point where it's like, damn, like, I actually suck compared to, like, these guys.
Yeah, but then, you just go to another tier,
right,
basically.
Yeah, and then he was saying, like, you just level up, and all of a sudden you're comparing yourself with, like, the greatest people that at this craft, and it's like...
Yeah, man, and I feel like I am nothing. Like, I ain't shit, so I have a long way to go, and... But I'm like I said, man, a lot of the music that's coming out right now, a lot of the development of like pop music, a lot of stuff that Bruno Mars is doing right now, like with the 24 karat gold and what I like, and these tracks with huge funk and like bass music influence are making me excited for the future, man. Like I'm really stoked to move forward, and after these songs, move forward with artists and like put together the future of like the scene, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we're on this wave, man. We should just keep riding it.
That's tight. And yo, respect for like your humbleness.
Thank you, man.
Like,
thank you.
Yeah, your music is dope, and like myself included, I think you're dope.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm blessed and honored to be here, honestly. So we at UCLA, boy.
Well, we have 3 minutes left. How I usually wrap the show up is if you would leave 3 advices or awarenesses that you want people to be thinking about.
Okay.
What are 3 things?
Okay, the first... Okay, that's on the spot. All right. First thing I would say is don't worry about things that can be solved, like, easily. Like, a lot of people are always worrying about logistics and details and this and that, and it's like there's a lot of stress in this world nowadays, and everybody just needs to calm down a little bit and take it a step at a time. The second thing is be patient. Because, you know, people my age especially, I feel like, we want everything so soon. Like, if you graduate high school, you start looking at your social medias and seeing your homies, like, or not even your homies, just like people on social media with like hella money, just mm-hmm. automatically starting out, and you see them, you're like, I want that car, I want that apartment, I want that view. And you can't have it all, dude. Just take it, like I said, one step at a time.
Right.
Third piece of advice is drink water. Yes, that is all.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
Cool, cool. But yeah, is there any other last things you want to say, mention?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to shout out everybody who's listening right now. Shout out all my friends. Shout out Sober Rob. Shout out Oshi. Shout out Manatee. Shout out Rage Logic. Shout out Some Hoodlum, Masego, Benny Hayes, everybody.